Hello and welcome to the Stuff I Heard podcast. This is your host, Joshua Peak. And today is March 23rd, is a Saturday. Hey, everybody. Nice to get to talk to you guys here on the 23rd. This is actually episode 90. I'm getting close to 100, man. I'm excited. I had no idea when I started this thing that I'd keep it going. I felt like it'd be one of those endeavors that you start and then you eventually go, eh, I don't know if I'm still into this. But I am. This is pretty fun. yesterday on Netflix, the OA has come back on for season two. The OA stands for Original Angel. OA. Now, this show came on Netflix a couple years ago, and it took them a while to make season two. I don't think they were prepared to make season two when they came out with season one. I think they thought, we'll see if anybody likes it. And then season one was a big hit. Season one came out right after Stranger Things, and everyone was surprised by Stranger Things, even the people who made Stranger Things. Like, they shopped it around to a bunch of different studios, and a bunch of people turned them down and said, no, this ain't for us. And then they hit Netflix, and people responded. I mean, right away when it came out, I remember people saying, oh my God, this totally has revitalized Molly Ringwald's career. Or not Molly Ringwald. What's her name? Winona Ryder, right now, and people are going, I can't believe you said Molly Ringwald. Winona Ryder, okay. So, Winona Ryder was a big deal when I was younger. I would guess that she's probably 10 years older than me, or so, something like that. And she had a pretty big career, and when she kind of dropped off, you just didn't see or hear from her for a while. I mean, there was the whole Johnny Depp tattoo that he covered up, and they had a relationship, and then they didn't, and that kind of thing. Well, she had a role in this Stranger Things show, and I kept hearing people say, oh my God, this, you know, she's so good in this. And I was like, I started to watch Stranger Things, and it took about three or four episodes before she started being any part of it that mattered. And then once she was on the screen, you're like, oh yeah, like, she's still got it. She's still got the chops, man. And, you know, it sort of makes you think about actors that are out there who maybe have passed their prime and just can't seem to land the roles that they used to because everything is geared towards a younger market. And it's always like, who's the new hot and coming? Who's the person doing this? And let's face it, The Rock is carrying like most of the action roles that are out there. So if you're not The Rock, you're pretty much, you know, playing second fiddle to everybody. I know Will Smith has said he's retired and he's doing that bucket list thing now, but you know, if you're a seasoned actor that maybe had it big at one time, now is your time to find hits on Netflix or Amazon Prime or, I don't know, PlayStation View, I think, is making content as well. Hulu, Apple's supposed to come out with their own content. Disney Plus is supposed to have their own content. So, I mean, if you're a working actor or someone in the field, now is your opportunity to make something. And with the success of Stranger Things, when it went off the air, like a lot of people, myself included, we were sitting around going, well, hey, I really enjoyed that. Where's the next show? Like, we have to wait so many months or maybe even a year for this to come back out again. Oh my God, I can't believe I got to wait. And then this show, The OA, came open. And I started noticing comments from my brother and from a friend of his, Alex Condor, up in, where is Alex Condor at? New Jersey? Something like that. New York, New Jersey. And they were like, oh my God, you got to watch this. It's incredible. And I was like, all right, I respect both of these guys' opinion on shows. And so I figured, why not? Take a shot. Let's watch this. And it was fantastic. I mean, it was compelling. It was weird. It was interdimensional. It was disturbing. It had a bit of mysticism in it. It was an interesting ride to watch. And the first season, you're not certain if it's a scary show or if it's a suspense show or if it's a science fiction show or if it's just a crazy show. But you go along for the ride, and at the end of it, you're like, wait, what did I just watch? Holy cow, I can't believe what they just pulled off. And it was so amazing, the writing in it, the acting in it, the way they filmed it. It was all done on purpose for a certain effect. And the effect was that the viewer went, oh my God, I can't wait till they make more of these. This is incredible. And then raised the question of, wait, how can they even take this storyline and take it anywhere? Okay, so season two has come out, and I'm about three episodes in. I just finished episode three of the season. And I got to say, within the first episode, you're hooked. By the end of episode 3, you're literally, well, I was, standing on the couch going, what? What? Holy cow. It's amazing. The idea that they could come up with all this and be able to present it in a way that you can watch is really incredible. I am completely blown away. This is going to be the show. I say that a lot, but this is going to be the show that people are having a buzz about. Season 2 just levels season 1 right off the bat. I'm not even but 3 episodes in, and I can tell you season 2 levels season 1. And season 1 was amazing. Like, towards the end of season 1, there is some trippy stuff going on, and everything is very just, it's like you have to be all in. And then once you're all in, you're just like, you're in disbelief because it's so amazing. The writing is good. The acting is good. The way they shot it is good. The direction is good. Everything about it is good. Whoever's working on that cast is doing a great job. I say that, and then I say this. I noticed during the credits, when the show came on for the new season, in producers, the number one producer, Brad Pitt, which is interesting because Brad Pitt, you know, he's always been this good-looking movie star guy who's played, you know, some serious roles, some funny roles, some sad roles, and some sort of monumental roles. I have said in the past that I think that Brad Pitt and Robert Redford look like they could be related. And they've been in movies together, and they talk similar, they look similar. I think they're both from the Midwest. And Brad Pitt has sort of seasoned into this guy who has an idea and a vision of how he wants things to look and feel, and the commitment of the actors needs to be at a certain level in order for him to be involved. And that's seen in everything that he does, and it's seen in all the projects that he does. There is a movie, I don't know if it's a movie or a TV show. I think it's a movie. Maybe it's a TV show. Quentin Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and what's the kid's name? The one everybody's crazy about. See, I'm asking myself, and you guys aren't here. Let me Google it, because that's what this is for, right? So you guys are in suspense the whole time you're yelling at your radio. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood cast. Let's see what comes up.
The cast of Once Upon a Time.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, and 35 others.
Margot Robbie. Dakota Fanning, Al Pacino, Luke Perry. Aw, rest in peace, Luke Perry. He just passed away. Emile Hirsch. Oh. Timothy Oliphant. There's some big names. Michael Madsen, Kurt Russell. There's a lot of people in here. James Marsden, Lena Dunham. I'm just reading you the names I recognize. Maya Hawke. Isn't that Ethan Hawke's daughter? Wow. Holy cow, Bruce Dern. I can't remember what I've seen Bruce Dern in, but I've seen him in stuff. There's a lot of people in this. And I'm sure a lot of people are on board because it's Quentin Tarantino and because this is a big deal in the world of movies. I mean, let's face it, if you get to do a movie with Quentin Tarantino nowadays, you're like, oh yeah, I'm in. I'm all in. It's going to be a movie. It's not a show. It's a movie. So, the overview, let's click on this. 1969 Los Angeles, former Western star and his longtime stunt double struggle to find success in Hollywood that they don't recognize anymore. Pretty cool. And I want to say that one of these guys is supposed to be Steve McQueen. So, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be really awesome. But again, it's Brad Pitt going all in with people like Quentin Tarantino. And, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, people who are all in. They don't do a project unless they put everything into it. I mean, some of my favorite performances by Leonardo DiCaprio is stuff like Blood Diamonds, where he's not the charismatic guy that he is in, like, you know, you see, Now You See Me, with Tom Hanks. Or Catch Me If You Can, that's it. Catch Me If You Can with Tom Hanks. It's not him being the good-looking guy. It's not him being the charismatic head hunky guy. Blood Diamond is really just a survivalist kind of movie. And if you want to see an actor all in where you forget that you're watching an actor, watch Blood Diamond. There's two actors in it that are out of this world good. And I always have a hard time remembering the other guy's name. I don't even know how to pronounce it, honestly. Digimon Honsu. DJIMONHOUNSOU. He's been in a bunch of things. He is an incredible actor. And in this movie, the two of them, you forget that you're watching actors. Again, you're just so bought into watching them on the screen that you're in the story. They draw you into the story. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, I'll ride with drivers once in a while and they'll say something like, oh, I think Matthew McConaughey is a great actor. And I'm like, he's had a couple of great roles. I mean, to me, his best acting was in the True Detective series on HBO. That, in my opinion, is his best acting ever, because in that show, you forget you're watching Matthew McConaughey. And every other thing you watch, you're like, oh, look, Matthew McConaughey is playing this role of so-and-so. When you watch him in True Detective, you're like, whoa, holy cow. Like, every episode, you're so drawn in by his performance and by the other people on the screen that you're just, you forget you're watching a show, and you're just drawn into these characters, and you feel for them, and you're anxious for them, and you're scared for them, and you're, it's good. It's good stuff. So, anyway, all in, it's basically what I'm saying. If you're going to do anything in life, why not be all in? I mean, granted, there is something to be said about people who just kind of fake the funk and make things happen as themselves. And Matthew McConaughey is a good example of that. He can just be himself in most movies, and you're just like, oh, look, Matthew McConaughey. Yeah, okay. Alec Baldwin's another example. Alec can just play Alec. And you never forget that you're looking at Alec Baldwin on the screen. There's a few people like that. Brad Pitt at times has a tendency to give you a performance where you forget you're watching Brad Pitt. Even in Fight Club, okay? Fight Club, where you clearly can see that it's Brad Pitt in the best shape of his life fighting, you at times forget that you're watching a movie and Brad Pitt's playing one of the characters because he does such a good job. So anyway, enough about that. Go watch The OA if you haven't watched it. Watch season one. Be prepared. It's disturbing. It is very disturbing. It is very weird. And then it gets towards the end and you start seeing all the pieces come together like a puzzle. And then you're gonna have a sore jaw from your jaw being open all the time. Because you're going to be like, oh. And then you're going to call everybody and be like, have you seen this? Oh my goodness, have you seen this? And most people are going to tell you no. But the ones who said yes, then go watch season two and talk about it. So anyway, I've been checking out a couple of episodes of Joe Rogan. On March 14th, he had episode 1265 with Andrew Schultz, American stand-up. He is a comedian who worked on Guy Code. That was, I think, on MTV. And the Brilliant Idiots podcast. And an Amazon original series, Sneaky Pete. I wanted to see Sneaky Pete. I still haven't seen it yet. There's a lot of good stuff out there. And then episode... came out this past Tuesday, episode 1268 with Ron White. This is actually, I think, the second time that Ron White's been on Joe Rogan's podcast. His new special, If You Quit Listening, I'll Shut Up, is now streaming on Netflix. Okay, I got to check that out. See, I listened to him do his whole interview here, 3 hours or so, and I missed the part where he was talking about he had a Netflix special. But I'm going to have to check that out. And then I got one coming up I want to listen to. Brian Callen is on, he came on Wednesday. He does a podcast with Brendan Schaub called The Fighter and the Kid. I've only listened to two episodes. I got limited time. But if you're looking for a good podcast, listen to them. Find an episode where they're talking to somebody that you enjoy and you probably get into it. He has a new stand-up special called Complicated Apes, now available on iTunes, Amazon, and other various platforms. I don't think he's on Netflix. I think there was a thing about he tried to get Netflix to put him on, and they just, for whatever reason, didn't or wouldn't or whatever, or just decided, you know, we're full, we're good. And he decided, you know what, I'm going to put it out everywhere myself. And that's really awesome, because sometimes your best stuff comes out of you just doing it yourself. Sometimes it is just you taking the reins and saying, I'll learn it, I'll figure it out, I'll do it all. Chris Titus talked about that when he was on Bert's podcast. He said, you know, when I got fired from my hit TV show, we were number one in ratings, and I got fired from my show because I disagreed with the new president of the network. They brought in somebody new, and the new president said, hey, we're going to change your show. We want it to take this turn. And it was completely off script of what he wanted. He wanted his show, The Titus Show, to be about the fact that he has a wife and they live in a really messed up situation, but they tend to work things out and they make it work. The new president came in and says, we think we want you two to get divorced in the show. And he was like, no, that's not what the whole show is about, the fact that we screw up at times and we still figure out a way to make it work. He said, it's completely unlike what my real life was like, but I wanted to show that as you know, that you can do it, that it is possible. And this president came in and said, we're doing it this way and you're going to do it this way. And he said, whose name is on it? Now, granted, they were the number one show at the time. And the new president had walked into, I think it was on Fox, walked in and just said, okay. And they canceled the show. So without work, Chris Titus went out and made his own stuff. He just started making his own stuff. He started booking himself in clubs. He started doing his own online specials. And he produced it all himself. He set up the cameras. He rented the crew. He did everything himself. And everything that he's done since has been because he decided, you know, he said, I didn't want anybody else deciding my fate. And that's really admirable. That's really hard to do. You know, Adam Carolla talked about that. I used to listen to the Adam Carolla show on the podcast. And he talked about how when Howard Stern left radio, terrestrial radio, to go to satellite, he left a void in terrestrial radio. So radio stations were scrambling to try and find somebody who was going to do content that was similar, that would draw an audience. And so they hired, I think they put David Lee Roth over the New York market, and they put Adam Carolla over the Los Angeles market. And Adam took the reins and ran with it, and they had a number one show for a very long time. And then at a certain point, you know, as business does, conglomerates buy each other up and radio stations buy each other up, and they just decide, you know what, we're going to trim the fat. We're just going to get rid of this guy. So they just decided to fire him. They told him, they said, you know, we're going to go with a younger Latino DJ, and we just don't need you anymore. So he was like, oh crap, what do I do? I got bills. I mean, I got kids. I got a wife, and we have a house payment. And he said, he came home and asked his wife, he said, how much do you think we need a month in order to live? And she told him some obscure lowball number. And he's like, okay, I guess I gotta go back to work and figure something else out. There's no time to wait. So podcasting was just getting started, and he'd heard about podcasting and he thought, maybe this is the way. And he invested his own money and he built himself a podcast studio and he bought the equipment and he bought a sound engineer, or he hired sound engineers and he hired talent. And he said, hey, let's start this. Let's start a podcast and let's just go from here. And Adam Carolla took the reins and he ran with it. And he built an empire. He calls it his pirate ship. No one can tell me what to do because I am the captain of my own pirate ship. And he's right. No one can tell him what to do. He has a production crew now and a podcast network called Ace Entertainment, which stands for Adam Carolla Entertainment. And he has people that fall under his umbrella of podcasts. He helps produce them. He helps give them space and he helps them market themselves for ads so that they can all make money doing what they enjoy doing. And let's face it, if there is an audience out there for everyone, then he definitely has his finger on the pulse and can figure out who has the ability and who doesn't. So right away he took off and he started, you know, building this pirate ship, building this empire, building this studio and this podcast network. And he did it all himself. And no one was standing around telling him he couldn't. You know, he used to be on Loveline with Dr. Drew. And at every turn, MTV was always trying to undercut their budget and trying to tell him, oh, you know, we can get somebody else. And he's like, can you? Can you really? Because I don't think you can. I don't think you can cap somebody that does what I do. And at the time, he talked about how Dr. Drew made the majority of the money. And at a certain point, he brought up the awareness of the fact that the show doesn't move without his involvement. And he took a hiatus from the show. And they realized right away, oh, crap, we really do need this guy. So they came back and they offered him more money for it. And he took the show and made it what it was. At the height of the time, I think Loveline was the number one radio show on the air. And it was the number one show that MTV had. Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla have a show together. And Dr. Drew has a podcast that he does through Adam's network. Matter of fact, I looked on my timeline recently, and Bert just did a podcast with Dr. Drew on his podcast, which is cool. I think it's something like After Hours with Dr. Drew, which is real similar to Loveline. But it's just Dr. Drew and a guest. So, anywho, years ago, Bert was on Loveline, and that's where he, I guess, first told the story on television about the machine. And so Dr. Drew kind of pulled that out of him, which I don't think it was the first time he told it ever, because he told it on radio a couple of times, and Drew had heard about it, and Drew's like, you know, can you tell that story? Because Bert had kind of mentioned it sort of in passing, as though, yeah, you know, like this one time I robbed a train in Russia with the, you know. And he's like, excuse me, you did what? And it sort of grew from that to Rogan to what it is today. So anywho, go check out Adam Carolla's podcast if you're looking for content. He has a ton of content out there. Check out Dr. Drew's podcast. Check out Bert's podcast, The Bertcast. I wrote with a guy yesterday, talking about podcast. I wrote with a guy yesterday who was listening to a podcast that was fascinating. And I kind of want to look up the name of it because I'm really uncertain what it's called. I think it's called The Last Podcast on the Left. Yeah, The Last Podcast on the Left. This is an interesting podcast. The Last Podcast on the Left covers all the horrors of our world, all the horrors our world has to offer, both imagined and real, from demons to slashers to cults and serial killers. The Last Podcast is guaranteed to satisfy your bloodlust. This is an interesting podcast. They talk about serial killers. They talk about Jack the Ripper. They talk about just on and on and on and on and on. I listened to one yesterday while we drove back from Augusta to Florence, and we were listening about this guy who had a rough childhood, and he apparently had gotten into, at some point, murdering people, and it was entertaining. It was, they give you all the facts, but they also do it in a way that is funny. I know that sounds horrible, like these awful things that are happening. They lighten the mood a little bit with conversation and with jokes, but they also give you the facts about what happened, and it sort of helps you understand how people sometimes go off the rails and become the horrible things that they are and can do the horrible things that they do because of their past. So obviously, the podcast that they do has a lot of research involved because they have to have facts. They're talking about a situation, and they have to know what they're talking about. So if you're into that kind of thing and you know, you want to be able to stay awake because you're getting sleepy on the road, try it out. Find a your favorite murderer or your favorite serial killer or whatever that they've talked about and go into the deep dive on that. And you don't know. It might keep you wide awake while you're driving. It might have you terrified and having nightmares later. But it also might just keep you awake on long drives. I mean, let's face it, that's why I got into podcasts to start with. When I first wanted to listen to podcasts, I listened to one called Sex Nerd Sandra, and she's still out there making podcasts. It looks like a plug-in with a woman's face on it. It's red, it has lipstick and little eyes on a wall outlet plug-in, basically. I was sleepy, and I was like, hey, what podcasts are out there? And hers was listed as like in the top five, and I was like, well, what is this? I don't even know what this is. I clicked on it, And right away they were talking about, you know, people losing their virginity and, you know, stuff like that. And I was like, I looked up subjects and I was like, oh, this is interesting. She did it for a while with a comedian named Dave Ross. Dave Ross, I think, left the show at a certain point because they got into some subjects that he really felt uncomfortable about. And I think I left shortly after that. I think I listened up until that point. And then when he left the show, it was really odd listening to Sandra by herself talk to these people because some of the subjects were disturbing. And without Dave there kind of cracking jokes and adding some levity to the situation, it just made it weird. Which brings me to my next podcast I started listening to. You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes. Pete has a show on HBO that just got canceled, oddly enough. Three seasons of it. So it's good. There's three seasons. It's called Crashing. And it's loosely based on his life about how he was married and he's living in New York. And he was very Christian and very devout. And he got into doing comedy. And he talks about this on his podcast about how he realized that he fell out of love with his wife and he fell in love with comedy. And his wife cheated on him. Obviously, you know, whenever that something like that happens, you realize that it's not one person's fault. It's usually both people's fault in a way. They both have something to do with it. So she cheated on him, and he said, I'll be honest with you. He said, I cheated on my wife with comedy. Like, I made decisions based on comedy more than I made it on her. And because of that, our relationship suffered, because I got to take my part in it, and this was my part in it. And he became a stand-up comedian in New York, and now he's got a show on HBO with Anthony Jeselnik produced it. It's really good. It's, like I said, it's loosely based on his life. If you want to know more about Pete Holmes, listen to his podcast. He interviews a ton of people, and he has very interesting interviews. He loves to deep dive about really interesting things, and listening to him is very calming and very simple and very easy. I listened to him for years, and I finally had to delete him because I had too many podcasts that I was listening to, and I couldn't keep up. So, anyway, shout out to Pete Holmes. If you get a chance to see him live, I haven't seen him live yet because he doesn't come to South Carolina or North Carolina or Atlanta. Hey, Pete, if you're listening to this, by the way, don't be afraid of the South. We have the internet. We know who you are. It's pretty good stuff, buddy. Anywho, I'm going to wrap this up. It is Saturday, and we have some friends coming over tonight. I am cooking some ribs. I have found a rib recipe that I enjoy making, and it involves going to Sam's and getting the three-pack, cutting the ribs up in between the meat, in between the bones, and boiling them, then letting them cool down, and then slapping them on the smoky hot pellet grill and cooking them on a slow roll. And then during the last 10 minutes or so, putting some barbecue sauce on it and letting it caramelize. Ooh, yeah, baby. Now, I'm making a YouTube video today, so be on the lookout for the YouTube video on this. And who knows? Maybe you'll want to make the same thing. I've looked around for recipes of what I've made, and all I've found is like a combination of three different videos, and nobody's made the video that I've made, which is kind of how I look at YouTube. If I don't see the video that I want, then I'm going to make the video I want, because maybe it'll help somebody else, right? That's what we're all here for, to help each other out. So I want to tell everybody I appreciate you for listening and sticking with me. And hey, we made it. Episode 90. Wow. I'm really going to flip out when we get to episode 100. It's coming. I hope you're ready for it. It's going to be fantastic. Ah, big stretch. Y'all take care. Watch the OA on Netflix. You'll thank me later.